Let's start. Dvarim Perek Vav Pasuk Tet Zayin. Clearly, we're not starting at the beginning. That's what I was saying. Why would we do that? Dvarim Perek Vav Pasuk Tet Zayin. Lo tinasu at Adonai Lechem kasher nisitem b'masa. Shamor tishmurun mitzvot Adonai Lechem leidotav v'chukav asher tzivach. Okay. Second source on the page, right? Dvarim Perek Vav, Pesukim Tet Zayin, Yud Zayin. We have a very strange statement. What it sounds like it's saying is, Lo Tenasu Et Hashem Alkechem Kasher Nisitem B'Masa. Right? Don't be Menaseh Hashem. Don't test Hashem. Don't try Hashem. But rather, what should you do? Keep the mitzvah which Hashem has given you, etc. They say, my kesher. What does one thing have to do with the other? I would have expected. Don't be menasa Hashem, right? Pasuk Tet Zayin b'Seder. And then what should Pasuk Yud Zayin be? Is that have faith in Hashem, have trust in Hashem, believe in Hashem, right? That should be the natural contrast. That should be Pasuk Yud Zayin. Instead, Shamor Tishmur Mitzvot Hashem Elkechem Beitotav Kav Asher Tzivach. We'll see that this is not stam. Not that we would expect it is, but we'll see that it's not that there's something very, very significant going on here, because this there's a relationship between these two ideas that runs throughout Chumash, and we'll see several examples of. But the key is to understand that what's the relationship between these two ideas? What's the relationship between not being Menaseh Hashem on the one hand and keeping the Torah and the Mitzvot on the other hand? What's one thing have to do with the other? Right. Other than that, Lo Tenasu is, you know, a mitzvah, but that doesn't really explain it. So we need to put into context the fact, and I haven't forgotten that. You'll see that this has a lot to do with the Parsha Yitro and this Parsha Chumash, and not that it has to, but it happens to be it does. Let's do a 1-minute review of Sefer Shemot, okay? Since, why not? Can't hurt, a little chazar, right? Sefer Shemot in 1 minute. Everyone ready? Yes. Don't start timing yet. It'll be less than a minute, don't worry. But anyway, here we go. Sefer Shemot. Sefer Shemot, basically, I mean, there are different ways you can slice it, but basically there are three parts to Sefer Shemot. Okay, basically three parts to Sefer Shemot. The first part, Yitzhak Mitzrayim. The last part is the Mishkan, right, with an interruption with Chayt HaEgel. These are two obvious parts in the middle. There are all these things. There's Matan Torah, but Matan Torah is not the only thing. There's Masna Riva, and there's Amalek, and there's and what?
Man.
And there's the Man, and there's, right, there are, it's a whole list of things, including Matan Torah. It's a whole bunch of things. I used to call this the miscellaneous section. But, and clearly Matan Torah, right, brings us right into the Mishkan, because and there's a really continuation of train of thought, because Ramban explains the continuation, but hey, what happened to that right now? But what is the common denominator to this whole middle section? There's one element that appears, one thread that runs throughout this entire middle section, every single one of the things that you mentioned, and that is Nisayon. Okay? Someone is being Menaseh Hashem. Okay? Whether it is Masa Meriva, right, which is named at that, whether it is the Man, okay, every single case, Amalek, right, Hashem Nisi, every single case, there is an aspect of Nisayon on some level or other. Okay? This is the thread that runs throughout the entire thing. Now, you'll see why this is very, very important, but part of that is Matan Torah. Matan Torah is part of that. Mention that because, for one thing, it gives us a little bit of context for Lo Tinasu Et Hashem, and then it talks about the Torah and the Mitzvah. Right? And clearly, this is part of that connection. Okay, it's not just in this part of the Torah, but it's something we should keep in mind in terms of the middle part of Sefer Shemot, the transition between Yitzhak Mitzrayim and Mishkan. And of course, at the heart of that, Matan Torah. Okay, so how do we go about figuring out these in Dvarim? Okay, how do we go about figuring it out? So methodologically, it's very clear that if you read Pasuk Tet Zayin, Lo Tenasu Et Adonai Lechem Kasher Nisitem B'Masa,
and you're trying to understand that pasuk, what must you look at? What must you look at if you're looking at Dvarim Perek Vav Pasuk Tet Zayin? Where must we go from there? So clearly we have to go where? You want to say? No, what? We have to go to Shmot Perek Yud Zayin. Right? Pasuk Zayin. Why do we have to go to Shmot Perek Yud Zayin? Right, because it says, Lo tinasu et Hashem elokechem ka'asher nisitem b'masa. Right? We have to go back to the story of Masa and see exactly what it says about Masa. Right? That makes sense, right? And so it's referenced here for us. Obviously, we're being pointed, and this happens a lot of times in Tanakh, where Tanakh references something else, and it's, there are different pieces that one has to put together. I give you many, many examples of this. So here, Dvar Parakvah Tetzayin sends us to Shmo Parakvizayin Pasakzayin. Vayikra Hashem HaMakom Masa Umriva. Al Riv B'nei Yisrael Al Nasotam Et Adonai Le'mor Hayesh Adonai B'Kirbeinu Im Ayin. Right? So if the Torah says Lo Tinatzu Et Hashem HaKem Kasher Nesitem B'Masa, that means
to start putting the pieces together. That's very important part of the Kalman Torah, is putting the pieces together. So what we have here is that we're told Lo Tinasu. Right? Lo Tinasu. What does it mean Lo Tinasu at Hashem Elokim? Because that means Kashem Sitem Masa. What did we say at Masa? We said Hayesh Hashem Bikirbeinu Im Ayin. Is Hashem in our midst or not?
Okay?
Hayesh Hashem Bikirbeinu Im Ayin. Please take note of the word Bikirbeinu, the word Karov. Right, Kerev, Krov, etc. Right, Kufresh Bet. You see, that's a very important part of what's going on here. Hayesh Hashem Bikirbeinu Im Ayin. Okay, Lo Tinasu Et Hashem Elokim. What does that mean? So Torah tells us Kasher Nisitem B'Masa. We go back to that. We plug it in. Right, we all remember this from math. Right, you know this little plugging in. Right, so we do a little plugging in. And by contrast, what are we told that we should do instead? Right, Shemor Tishmor Mitzvot Hashem Elokim. Right, we should keep the mitzvah. Okay, we should keep the mitzvah of Hashem, rather than being menaser and saying Hayesh Hashem Bikirbeinu. We don't yet understand what that means, but at least we have a little bit of a framework to work with. Okay, at least we have a direction. Okay.
But
yeah.
Can they go back to even modern? Because then they get like the Chok of Mishpat.
Absolutely.
Like,
absolutely. That's part. Right. I didn't go through every example, but you're absolutely. This whole middle part, everything after you see on Mitzrayim, Mara is like the first event.
Right.
And that's absolute. Right? So again, right? You go straight, Tetvav, Tetzayin, one after the other, Yudzayin, you know, Chav, one after the other, all of this Nisayon, 1000%. Okay. And by the way, Amara, right? Certainly according to Rashi's reading of it, not like the Ramban, right? What happens at Mara, amongst other things? You get Torah Mitzvah, right? It's the beginning of Mamad HaSinai, right? And so it's, once again, the connection between Nisayon on the one hand and Torah Mitzvah on the other hand. Right, we'll see why they're connected. Okay, good. And that's, see, right, next box. Sham Salachot Mishpat, Sham Yisav. Okay, you step ahead of me. I'll do my best to keep up. Paz Perachav. Al tirao ki levavur nasot etchem ba'aluhim vavur tiyeh yiratol p'nechem levolti tachtau. Again, Torah mitzvah, Mamad Har Sinai, giving of Torah mitzvah, nisayon, right? Whether in Shmot Tevav, Shmot Chav, Dvarim Perek Vav, again and again, these things come together as a pair, and I'll go a step further, Dvarim Perek Dalet, Tzukim Zayin through Chet, ki mi goy gadol, asher lo Elohim kerovim elav. Kadonai Elohim Chol Koreinu Elav. Okay, notice the word, right? Karov once again. Okay, Karov once again. And look how it continues. Umi goy gadol asher lo chukim mushbatim tzadikim kechol ha-Torah azot asher anochi noten lefnechem hayon. Hashem gives us the Torah, Hashem gives us the mitzvah, and, right, Hashem is Karov Elav, right, Hashem Elkim Krovim Elav Hashem Elkeinu b'chol Koreinu Elav. Okay. Let's put this all on the back burner and let's look at something else. We'll come back to this Bezer Hashem in just a little bit. Shmo Perak, I'm sorry, Dvarim Perakei. Dvarim Perakei. Dvarim Perakei. And please take note. Dvarim Perak Dalad, Perakei, Perak Vav. Okay? Well, it's all in the same neighborhood. Dvarim Perakei. This is perhaps the most important single little section in the Torah because it explains on a certain level the whole Torah. Explains what the whole enterprise of Torah mitzvah is all about. So we have to pay very careful attention to it. Let's read it carefully. Vayhi kishamachem et hakol mitoch hachoshech vahar bo'er ba'esh vatikruvun, again that same word again, right? Vatikruvun elai kol rashay shiftechem v'ziknechem. We have to read this very carefully. And again, this is the Mishnah Torah on what we have in this week's parashah, in Shmo Perkaf, right, where it talks about V'chol Am Ruim Et HaKolot V'Lapidim V'Kol HaShofar V'Tahar Hashen V'Yar Ha'am V'Yanu V'Yamdu Merachok. Okay, that's back in Shmot. This is the, right, this parallel to it. In Shmot V'Yomru Moshe Daber Atay Imanu V'Nishma V'Ali Daber Imanu V'Lahim Pen Amut V'Yom Moshe La'am Al Tirao Kil V'Vur Nasot Tuchem V'Alahim V'Vur Tiei Yertol P'Nechem L'Gultik Techata'u. And this is what is recounted in Dvar and Perakei, but in greater detail. So here we're told, Pasuk Chaf, Batomru, and they said, who is speaking? Who's the subject? Who's speaking? Batomru, they said. Who's they? Okay, what? Rashay Shiftechem Zignechem, okay? In other words, who's speaking? Not Stam, right? Not Stam, the masses. Who's speaking? The elite, the leaders, the top tier, right? The very, very top, the elite. Kol Rashay, and not some of them. This is the you know, all of them. Kol Rashay, Shiftechem, Zignechem. What do they say? Batomru. Hein heranu Adonai Eloheinu ekvodo vekodlo vekolo shamanu mitoch ha'esh. Hayom hazeh ra'inu ki daber Elohim et ha'adam v'chai. Today we've seen, we've experienced that God can speak with man and man can survive. Okay? That's statement number one. Right? Pasuk Chaf is statement number one. Okay? Ki daber Elohim et ha'adam v'chai. Va'ata lama namot ki tochlenu ha'esh hagdola hazot im yosvim anachnu l'shmo kol Adonai Eloheinu od b'matnu. And now, why should we die? Because we'll be consumed by this great fire, the Shechina hazot. After all, im yosvim anachnu, if we continue to hear et kol Hashem Elokeinu od b'matnu, right? If we hear and continue to hear the voice of God, then this is a little bit better. What's going to be the result? Amati. Then we're going to die. Why? And that's an explanation. Kimi kol basar. They continue. Pasuk Chafet. Kimi kol basar sher shama kol elohim chayim medaber mitocha eish kamonu vayachi. Who heard of such a thing that man should hear God's voice and survive? Therefore, Pasuk Chaf Gimel. And that word is there again, right? Moshe is told, you come close. Kiravata ushmat kol asher yomar Adonai Eloheinu. Va'at daber eleinu kol asher yidaber Adonai Eloheinu elecha v'shamanu batzinu. This is statement number three, Pasuk Chaf Gimel, right? Statement number three is that the solution is for Moshe to be the one to hear Hashem and he'll report back. Now, what's the relationship between statement number one and statement number two?
Contradict each other,
right? From one sentence to the next, in the same breath, they contradict each other. We have discovered that it's possible for man to survive this such an experience, and then we're told in the next breath, because of course it's impossible for man to survive such an experience, right? And therefore, why should we die? And therefore, what's the solution? That's unbelievable. The third statement is even more incredible than the second. Right? Therefore, since we know that anyone who undergoes such an experience is going to die, we don't want to do this. We have a solution, though. What's the solution? you go. And if you survive, come back and tell us about it, right?
Isn't the second statement saying only up to a certain amount can we tolerate the fear of Hashem, and then we'll die?
Maybe, maybe. Although it doesn't really exactly say that, because it says "kimi kol basar asher." What does it say again? Pasuk chafet. Kimi kol basar asher shama kol kim chayim medaber mitoch ha'esh kamonu vayechid. I was going to say that, like, you can't live. Can't. Live. But anyhow, your point is well taken. I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm just saying there's more to it than that. Okay, now, if we never learned Dvarim before, Chas V'Shalom, we never heard this before, we don't know anything, right? And we stopped here for a moment. And I said, okay, don't read on. Time to take an educated guess. What is Hashem's reaction going to be to these three statements? What would you expect Hashem's reaction to be to these three statements? What would you expect? On a scale, let's say, of 0 to 10, 0 being very negative and 10 being very positive, what do you think God's reaction we would expect it to be to such a constellation of statements? Kind of a grade from 0 to 10 would you expect B'nai Yisrael to get? Or not B'nai Yisrael, but this is Kenim. A 5?
3.
You're a more generous mark than I am. What? 3? Okay. Okay. Look at the next sentence. It's unbelievable. Vayishma Adonai kol divrechem bedabrechem elai. Vayomer Adonai elai. Shamati et kol divrei ha'am hazeh asher diberu. Asher diberu elecha. Heitivu kol asher diberu. Great. This is wonderful. It's all great. Not just some of it. Heitivu kol asher diberu. The entire thing is great. Right? They get a 10. Esther, what's going on? Hashem gives them a 10 for this. They deserve a 10. It's unbelievable. But it's not only that. Look at the next pasuk. Mitein v'ayalu v'avam zeh lahem li'ira oti v'lishmar kol mitzvotai kol yamim l'man yitav lahem v'lebneihem l'olam. Halavai that Bnei Yisrael always had this understanding. If they always had this understanding to be able to do all the Torah and mitzvot, this is the key to everything. This is the secret. What we just read, these three statements, it's the basis of everything.
What does Chafei say?
Mitain, like, you know, it's an expression, right? Literally, who would give, but it means like we say halavai, right? If only it would be mitain vayalavavam zelahem, if only they'd always have this heart, meaning this attitude, this feeling. That what? Why they always would understand this. Understand what? Statement 1? Statement 2? Statement 3? What? All of them? How all? And yet it says, it's all good. It's all great. So there's one word that is the key to everything. One word in this section that's the key to everything. No, more than that. There's one word that's the key to everything. I'll give you a clue. It is not the word that we would normally expect. You know, you'd say, if you were editing this, kilu, you would say, this is just the wrong word. It's not, no, never in Tanakh do we phrase it this way. There's one word that seems to be wrong. What? Okay, well, on a conceptual level, I'm talking about a grammatical level. Yeah.
Maybe it's Lira.
I mean, maybe, but there's something that I think is much more glaring. There's a word that is just very glaring here. Yes? Which word? I'm just not kidding. Yeah, there's Hamer Masha. Okay. What word?
At Nemer.
What?
At Nemer.
Because it's At instead of Atah. There are a lot of parallels to that. You're right, it's unusual, but it's hardly unique. Many, many. Also, many parallels have parallels to that in Yeshayahu, for example.
Oh, kolo and kolo kazarani.
Come on, there's still a few words you haven't guessed yet. There's still some left. How about the word et? What?
Such a simple one.
Such a simple word, right? So the little words. Let's take a look for a moment.
Which one?
Take a look for them. You'll see. Let's take a look at Pasuk Chaf. Vatomru hein heranu azanai lehinu kvodo v'kavlo v'kolo shema mitocha esh. Hayom azera inu ki daber Elohim et ha'adam v'chai. Okay, ki daber Elokim et hadam b'chai. How many pesukim do you have where it says, you know, something like Vaydaber Hashem et Moshe Lemor?
Don't you have a few pesukim like that? Sometimes it says.
Okay, give me an example.
Can't give you a specific example, but I know that it sometimes means him, doesn't it?
Maybe. I think it's very unusual. I don't think it's at all. Normally, I mean, and I think that it's sufficiently rare that you have to understand why it does it where it does. Meaning, this is a very unusual thing. Ki daber lukim et hadam b'chai. What do we normally have? The daber el im le, right? Words like alf mem resh or dal bet resh. Expect el im le, right? Et is not what's normally used. Isn't that true? Right. Is that the normal syntax? I don't think so. Check it out. See. Okay. You can do a search on Bar Ilan and see how, you know. I'm not saying it doesn't exist, but it's not the norm at all, right? And there are so many, it's like one of the most common things, you know, that X speaks to with whatever. Y is so common, and including when we're talking about God, this is just not the normal form. Ki daber lukim et hatam b'chai, I think is, you know, suggests not speaking with or speaking to, but more so with, like, et is used for a direct object, and it's more like God is speaking at. God is speaking at man. And there's a good, very good reason for this, because if you look in the Midrash, you see that Chazal describe what happens at Mamad Har Sinai, when Hashem speaks to Bnei Yisrael, what happens to Bnei Yisrael? Parcha Nishmatam, right? What does it mean, Parcha Nishmatam? It means that they are overpowered, overwhelmed by the revelation, by God's presence, right? They cease to have their identity, they cease to be human beings, they cease to function. And the point is that if you look, what does it say? You see, Bnei Israel have, that there are two ways you can understand what's happening at Mamar Sinai. One way, which is the correct way in retrospect, but we have the advantage of having read the book, right? But if, you know, Bnei Yisrael don't know how things are going to play out. We do. But the correct way to understand it is that Mamad Har Sinai is meant to be a specific event in Jewish history, right? A specific event. Yitzhak Mitzrayim, Matan Torah, Knesset Arzis, you know, specific events. This is different. I'm sorry. What they are afraid of is that perhaps there's a different pshat. And the second way of interpreting what's going on is that we were in Shiva Mitzrayim, we had Yitzhak Mitzrayim, we got to the Midbar, we come to our Sinai, and this is the next level. This is the next phase. The next phase is that we're now going to have an ongoing revelation. Hashem is now going to speak to us directly on an ongoing basis. And that's what living a life of Torah is going to mean from now on, that we're in God's revealed presence. Right, that's the new existence. And what's Bnei Yisrael's reaction to that? So let's read the Pesukim again, you see they make perfect sense. Pasuk Chaf. Vatomru hein heranu Adonai lehinu kvodo v'kodlo v'kolo shema mitocha esh. Hayom hazer ra'inu ki daber Elohim et hadam b'chai. God spoke to the Jewish people at Har Sinai, but not as people, but as objects. Right, they were overpowered, they were, you know, description of Bilam, Nofel Ugluy Einayim, for example, right? The description that we have by other Nevi'im, Lahavdil, of where they fall down, where they lose control, where they're overpowered by the experience of revelation, of Nevuah. And they're not able to stand and to function and to think and to make decisions and to be a human being. And therefore, what do they say? Kidaber lakim et adam v'chai. After it's over, then chazer nishmatim. Then they're human beings again. Then they're fine. Then they weren't killed by it, right? Kidaber lakim et adam, which describes their state during the experience, and v'chai, and after it's over. So they're alive and well. But how do they continue? Okay, and now we have a context for understanding what you're saying, what you said before, Leah, that ba'ata lama namut. Im yosvim anachnu. What does yosvim mean? If we continue. If this is going to be ongoing. If this is going to be a continuous process. Im yosvim anachnu lishmoa. If this is the way it's going to be from now on, then what's going to happen? We'll be consumed by it. Not because it's more time. That's not the point. Is not per se that, well, you can, you know, it's like radioactivity. You can take, you know, a few seconds of it, but, you know, if it's 5 minutes, so then it's going to be too much of a dosage. That's not what it means. It means that if it's a temporary thing, so for that period of time, we cease to exist, but then, okay, bachai, afterwards we're alive. But if it's meant to be ongoing, if it's going to be continuous, then there's no life anymore. Then we cease to exist as human beings. Is that what God intends for us, asked the Zakenim? Is that what is that the plan? And therefore, Bnei Yisrael suggests something that makes perfect sense in the context of a point that's made by the Rambam in Hilchot Yisod HaTorah, Perek Zayin Halacha Vav, happens to appear on the bottom of the page. Kol Hanaviim, Yireim, V'Nivhalim, U'Mitmogigim. Right, all the Nevi'im would be awed and trembling, and they you know, like taken aback, and they would melt, so to speak, when they receive the word. Moshe Rabbeinu Eino Kein, Hu Shakatuv Omer Kasher Yidaber Ish Al Re'eu Kiloma Kamoshe Ein Adam Nivhal Lishmo Divrei Chaveiro Kach Haya Koach B'Da'ato Shel Moshe Rabbeinu Lavin Divrei Hanevuah V'Omed Al Omdo Shalem. Moshe Rabbeinu was able to receive Nevuah, to stand in Hashem's presence, and still what? And still be a human being, still be able to exist as an independent independent human being. And therefore, what's statement number three? What did Bnei Yisrael say? You go. Because, not you go because, you know, we'd rather you die than we die. That's not the point. The point is, you go because the problem of im yosvim anachnu doesn't apply to you. And therefore you go and you bring back the message. What does Hashem say? And this is the most beautiful point. Hashem says to them, listen, this is the key to all of Torah and Mitzvah. This is the key to all of Torah and Mitzvah. So I'm a little bit older. I'll go so far as to say old, but older. So permit me, I'm going to give you a little bit of an old-fashioned example. It's not as current, you know, in today's day and age, but I think it's good enough to give you the idea of of the issue. Try to picture the following. Person is far away, very far away from someone who's very important to them. Someone they love. And they miss them. They're lonely, they miss them. And they want to feel a connection. They want to feel a closeness. So, we go back a decade or two, let's say. They might take out an old letter from them, a note, or something of that nature, or perhaps even a gift that they were given, and look at it, and think about it, and through that, feel a closeness, feel a presence, feel a connection. Everybody understand what I'm saying? Right? I think that that's the explanation for Torah Mitzvah that's being given here. We're being told this is the key to Torah Mitzvah. The key to Torah Mitzvah is that on the one hand, the idea is to be in God's presence. The idea is to be connected to Hashem. The idea is to feel Hashem's presence, to be in Hashem's presence, to connect to Hashem's presence. That's the goal. But an ongoing revelation like Mamad Har Sinai, if it were to be ongoing, that's not a possibility. Unless you're a Moshe Rabbeinu. But none of us are Moshe Rabbeinus. There's one Moshe Rabbeinu. So except for Moshe Rabbeinu, that's not an option. Right? That's not an option. What option exists? We can't have this type of overpowering, overwhelming, right? Where mitmogigim, where we melt, where we're no longer a human being. Like, that's impossible. We can have an indirect type of revelation, a connection, a closeness, a presence that's shielded, that's indirect. We take out the Torah that Hashem gave us, and we read it, we learn it, we delve into it. We take out the mitzvah that Hashem gave us, and we do them. And through that, we are able to have a connection, able to have a closeness, able to have a revelation, but one that's not overpowering, one that's not overwhelming, one that doesn't consume us, it doesn't devour us. Kitochlenu ha'esh ha'gdola hazot. It's a way to experience the light and the warmth of the Torah and mitzvah of Hashem's presence, but indirectly, so it's possible for us to do as human beings. And that's the end of this. Right? Heitivu kol asher diberu, mi'itein v'yalev avam zelahem li'yira'uti l'shmar kol mitzvotai kol yamim, l'man yitav lehem v'bnehem l'olam. So now we're ready to understand. Now we're ready for the shiur. Very short, simple idea this week, but I think it's like Mashdi Yisod HaYisod is like one of the most fundamental points. Watch how it all makes so much sense. You'll see the Torah says this again and again and again and again. Watch carefully. I'll give you first the primary example. Dvarim Perek Vav Pasuk Tet Zayin. Okay, Vav Tet Zayin in Dvarim. Second source on the page. Lo tinasu et Adonai lechem kasher nisitem b'masa. Don't do what you did at Masa. What did you do at Masa? Right? So we go back to Shmuel Perek Yizayin. We read, what do we say? Hayesh Hashem b'kirbeinu im ayin. Is Hashem amongst us or not? Is Hashem's presence here or not? Don't say that, says the Torah. Don't come with a demand. Say, I don't see Hashem here. I don't see Hashem's presence here. Hayesh Hashem b'kirbeinu im ayin. That's not what we're supposed to do. What are we supposed to do instead? Shamur tishmurun et mitzvot Hashem elkechem veidotav v'chukav asher tzivach. Keep the mitzvah, learn the Torah, right? And that's what is referred to in this pasuk. Veidotav, v'chukav. Point is, don't ask, is Hashem b'kirbeinu? Instead, what's the opposing idea? What's the antithesis? Instead of asking, where is Hashem? I don't see Hashem in our midst. I don't see Hashem close to us. What do we need to do? We need to create a situation where we're able to feel that closeness, where we're able to be in Hashem's presence. And that's through doing mitzvot and learning Torah. This is exactly what it says. This was Perek Vav. We go back to Perek Dalid. And look what it says. There are two psukim, they both begin, Kimi Goy Gadol, Asher lo, it's a parallel psukim back to back. Pasuk zayin and chet, kimi goy gadol asher lo Elohim kirovim elav kadonai lehim b'chol kareinu elav. This is a direct rebuttal to what? Tayesh Hashem b'kirbeinu amayin. The answer is mi goy gadol asher lo Elohim kirovim elav kashem elokeinu. Hashem is b'kirbeinu. Hashem is karov. But how does that come about? Mi goy gadol asher lo chukim mishpatim sadikim. I'm giving you the means for that to happen. And the means for that to happen is what? Is through the Torah and the mitzvah. That's why lo tinasu et shemel kechem, but rather shemor tishmur et shemel tishmel kechem. Perek Dalet, Perek Vav. In between we have Perek Hei. And Perek Hei is what we just learned about how mitein v'yal v'am zelahem. And the whole idea, which talks about, once again, the idea of the kirva is here, and the matan Torah, and so on. And the idea of that it's through this that we're able to connect in this way. We're able to connect in this way. This is a relationship, I believe, between the sham sam lachok mishpat v'sham nisahu. The relationship between al tirau k'nevavur nasot etchem ba'alavim v'avur tia yartol p'nechem l'gulti techata'u. We have to understand the nisayon. The proper nisayon is not the nisayon where we test Hashem, where we demand, say, look, well, I don't see where God is. I don't see where God being close. I don't feel the closeness. I don't feel God's presence. But rather to understand that Hashem is menaseh us. Hashem challenges us. Hashem gives us the opportunity to raise us up. And what is that opportunity? Opportunity is by giving us the Torah and the Mitzvot, which are a vehicle, which are a means to bring about this this closeness. And when we do that, then instead of Hayesh Hashem b'kirbeinu ayin, instead of that, what we have is Kimi goy gadol shalom lehim krov meilav kadonai lehim chok reinu elav. Mi goy gadol shalom chukim eshbatim tzadikim kechot razot asher nofino ten lefnechem hayom. I think it's the idea that that the description of Mamad Har Sinai is presented to us both in Shemot and in Dvarim. One has to put the two of them together in order to properly understand how they go ahead with it.